history, humankind has looked to understand the world around us, to define, taxonomize, and scientate. But some secrets have defied the cold scalpel of knowledge. These dark mysteries still reside within the Mind Trench with your guide, Rob Bollock.
Stick with me with this one.
Stick with you with this one. What have we got?
What have we got here, Rob?
Yeah, it goes a bit over here, there, and everywhere, but the ending is just.
Should we just be quiet and let you steer this one?
Yeah, okay, but I will stop occasionally. In 2008,
straight into it.
Neurologist Alan Braun and musician Charles Lim conducted a study that put jazz musicians into fMRIs.
What is that?
It's a functional magnetic resonance imaging scan.
Mean.
Which is very similar, same technology as an MRI scan.
It does sound deeply sci-fi, but I'm sure it's properly legit.
It uses a strong magnetic field and radio waves to create an image of the brain.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So kind of like an MRI.
Yeah.
So like they chucked these musicians into an MRI.
Chucked them.
But then I thought to myself, hang on, those machines are hot. They're quite claustrophobic. They've got magnetic fields. What instrument could you take in there and play?
Oh, wait, so they went in with their instruments?
Well, they had they did the stuff. They had them playing memorized scales.
Okay.
And see what happened to their brain then. And then they said, right, away you go.
Off you pop, yeah. Do your thing.
Okay, now I'm going to...
So hang on, they were doing that in the machine.
Should we take it back to where you were with that?
Yeah.
Oh,
no. So that's what you've got to get in your mind. This is what they're doing, right?
So you've got musicians in a big scanner playing music.
This scanner, what it does, the scan will show which way the blood flows in your brain when you're doing things. So it goes to different parts of your brain.
Ah.
It means that part of your brain is active. Then the other stuff, it ain't active.
Mm. I'm imagining them lighting up in Operation, you know, when
exactly.
You hit the sides
that's
and it goes...
what my thinking was. Right. Yeah, anyway, during improvisation, the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex...
Ah, yes.
I'm familiar.
It decreased in activity. Now, that is involved in both risky and moral decision-making. It's our inner critic. It's the voice in your head that says, don't do that. Good chances you could be wrong. Or, whoa...
Right. All the little voices in your head.
On the other hand, activity increased in the medial prefrontal cortex, which is associated with language and creativity.
Okay.
So you drop your inhibitions.
Yes.
And you get more creative.
You release your inhibitions. That's actually a lyric to a song.
Their brain sensors.
Feel the rain on your skin.
So while they improvise, their brain sensors decreased and their creativity centers increased in activity.
Okay.
Right. He also performed similar scans on freestyle rappers and most recently with theatrical improvisers. Improvisers?
Yeah.
That's right. I'm imagining a bunch of mimes in an MRI scanner now, which I know is not actually what it is.
Well, they haven't released the results yet, but they're really comparable. They were given scripted and improvised responses to verbal prompts. And it was the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing happened.
It's like the yes, and.
So what is improv all about? So you get to what is improv all about, right? So you can help me out here.
Well, it's been a while since I've done any... I did do drama at high school. I did improv, a little bit of improv.
Improv is essentially just unscripted.
Yeah.
Yeah, well...
So
what happens is it quiets our inner critic and therefore allows creative parts of our brains to flourish. Theatrical improvisers focus on their fellow players and the details of the scene, and it spontaneously unfolds. It's a misconception that improv is just making stuff up on the spot.
Yeah, they're relying on what's around them.
Theatre sports for a reason, because it is kind of like being on a team. You respond to the people around you.
It's like a musician that improvs just doesn't go bang 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 bish bash bish bosh on a piano. Do you know what I mean?
Or some of them do.
Yeah,
that's not even necessarily meant to be shade.
No,
like that's kind of
right.
Cool.
Yeah. You're right.
I mean, I hope I'm right here. The most famous principle is the yes and the or. Rule of agreement.
Yes and, yes or, those ones.
I remember you learning this in drama.
Yeah.
This is the concept that players have to agree with the reality their scene is creating and then they add on to the reality with more details.
Yeah. Right? You can't be a blocker, which is a no person.
Yeah.
So if
but then wouldn't that be part of improv as well? Couldn't you, then you realise how good you are? If someone comes in and goes, "Oh, hi Rob, how are you?" And I go, "Who's Rob and what are you doing in my house?"
Well, then I think the person who is the blocker there is just kind of a dick.
Okay.
Right?
Well, that would be Rob in that scenario.
Oh, wow. Yeah, oh, truth comes dear. Out, doesn't
but then,
it?
But where does the other person go from there? That's the question. They're like, oh.
Yeah, but wouldn't that, you'd be really good if you could come back from that.
Yeah, you would.
Somebody's texted in to say, "I did improv comedy with Rose Matafeo at school. Obs, I did not pursue the career." Well, I don't know who you are. You could be a very well-respected...
James Acaster. I know he listens to the show.
You could be a very well-respected comedian also. Obviously,
yeah, dreaming, Rob.
Improv comedy did very well for Rose Matafeo. Someone else said, lower inhibitions... when you're doing improv, basically.
Rob's got his finger on the paper like he's ready to get back. He's
got a point. Okay.
Well-trained improvisers embody principles such as the rules of agreement, then they take the stage, they snap into improv thinking, which is like getting into the zone, which means focusing intently on their fellow players and the scene. This external focus quiets their inner critics and frees up their medial prefrontal cortex to be creative and uninhibited. The study of the science of theatrical improv is in its early stages because theatrical improv is about listening, collaborating and creating. These skills are in the heart of being a human. It's what being a human is all about, right?
Yeah, that's quite nice
so
as well.
We are social creatures and improv encourages to truly see and hear and value others, which strengthens relationships, communities, and encourages risk-taking and innovation.
It's kind of interesting because when you think about improvisation, isn't that what we're all doing right now?
Well, I was actually thinking, I've been thinking about this all the time.
This isn't scripted, Tess.
if you remove judgment, if you're your fear of judgment or your fear of what people think of you, then you're essentially just improvising your entire
life. I mean,
well, I am.
when I do my piece here, I know what I'm going to talk about. You two don't. So you two are actually improvising with me.
I feel like I improv this entire show, to be honest.
So, you can actually get these skills. You can rehearse them and you can refine them, and we should apply this to everything.
It is really cool. Well, I mean, you look at amazing bands and you look at incredible musicians and stuff as well, and it's so much about just how they know each other as well. Like you see a really good band play, whether they're playing something that they've played many times before or whether they are improvising, and it's all about the relationship between the band. They know how each other plays. They are listening to each other all the time, and that's what makes them really good, is they're bouncing off each other, and that's what makes
a good piece of music if dropping those inhibitions sort of helps with people sort of being self-conscious of yourself.
I think so as well, because you're not yourself, are you?
And you lose that thought of like, oh, if I say this, is it going to be risky?
You take a few more risks.
Don't laugh in people that do improv theatre. You applaud them.
Never laugh, because I have them.
That's funny. What if it's comedy?
No, I mean, some people think, oh, it's rubbish, you know. Oh, but don't,
who
like,
says
what
that?
Is wrong with you? People that are improvising.
Do they?
Negative improvers.
I see what you're saying. Negative improvers. But then they're the blockers. This is what I was saying before.
So basically the bottom line is just release your inhibitions and feel the rain on your skin.
And listen to what other people have got to say and don't jump to conclusion. Have a think about it.
Exactly.
Insects last week, humanity this week.
Rob, we're covering all the big topics.
I love it. I'll talk about next week, so give me some ideas.
You really help us get through this Wednesday.
I know, the Wednesday schlump, but not with Rob Bollocks
at
the helm.
That's my new band name.
With the Wednesday slump.
Yeah.
If you've got any suggestions for what Rob can talk about on the Mind Trench next week, you can text us on 53955 or you can call us on 309-3879.
You could do an improvised segment next week.
Okay.
And not bring your book. Release your inhibitions, Rob.
Okay.
How many times can we say that this morning? I reckon we can squash it in there a few more, definitely. You're doing some improv dancing now, Rob. He's doing the robot.
He's releasing his inhibitions.
He's releasing his inhibitions
in
the studio.
I've been watching David Bowie doing it.
You're nice.
He was really bad as well at it.
Oh, that's apparently. All right. We're all in good company then.
I can't get out of this box.
The Mind Trench with Rob Bollocks, only on 95 BFM.
Thank you very much, Rob.